I want to talk to you this morning about the higher dimension. It's easy to lose sight of a big picture with so many storms brewing in the country and in our world today. But God has brought us where we are to the level where each of us is, but He doesn't intend to leave us where we are. He's calling His people to a higher dimension. It is more real than you may realize. Beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." Look around at the natural men and women in the sanctuary today. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. They're foolish to him. Can never know them because they are spiritually discerned. The New Living Translation words it like this. I just like the way it says it. People who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. These powerful verses packed with super truth for our benefit this morning. Now, let's lay a good foundation before we begin to build anything this morning. Let's go back to the day of your birth, to the day of my birth. All of us were born a baby. And when a baby is born, that includes me and you, we are only aware of our physical surroundings. To us, that's the entire world, our natural and physical surroundings. We were born a baby, we grew up through infancy, and then on through those toddler years, even into school, beyond school, college, and then career, and we enter the workforce. Still only aware of the physical, the natural life we are given. Many people live all of their lives only aware of the natural and the physical. They die and go to their grave having never known spiritual truth. We're born that way into this world. But that begins to change when we're born of the Spirit. It is the new birth. And with the new birth, when we're born of the Spirit, comes a new awareness of another dimension. A new awareness of a higher dimension. And we begin to learn that everything that is visible and natural is influenced by that which is invisible and spiritual. I want to get real with you this morning. All of us know this is true about the natural life. Life can be so unfair at times. Many people suffer injustice when they've done nothing at all to deserve the wrong that they've received. Things like a spouse walking out on a marriage and the mate losing the rights to see his children. Life is unfair. Many people make sound financial decisions, and yet with all of the mess in the natural life, many times still face bankruptcy, loss of jobs, loss of business, and injustice. You didn't do anything to deserve it. It's just the unfairness of the natural life. Another injustice. How tragic is this? A drunk driver slams into a car and walks away healthy while an innocent child is killed. Imagine. There's never any way for justice to be served in the natural life. The natural life is filled with all kind of tests, trials, temptations, potholes, speed bumps, craters. Oh, we've seen it all. It just comes with life, the natural life, the low level of life, the only level of life we are aware of when we're born. And the only level, the low level of life, the only one we're aware of throughout our entire life until the new birth. We're born of the Spirit and we have a new awareness of a higher dimension. We go through things not fair. We ask ourselves the question, God, why didn't you rescue me before I got into this much trouble? It's embarrassing for your pain and your failure to be so obvious. Sometimes it feels like you're on display to be mocked, ridiculed because of your failure or your pain. I'm talking things that happen at the low level of natural life. Sadly, the only level that many people know about. And it's easy to think in this natural life, the devil is the only one involved in all of this. But the truth is, God is supervising it all if we belong to Him. I want to dig a little deeper right now. I'm talking about the real world as we were born into it. Hebrews chapter 11 is called the faith chapter. How many faith people are in church here this morning? It's called the Hall of Faith. Very familiar to us. It's famous, that one chapter, for commending saints of old for the way they lived by faith. The term by faith, those two words together, by faith, is mentioned in the Bible only 23 times, by faith. And 15 of those 23 times is mentioned right here in this one single chapter, Hebrews 11. If you read it, and I hope you will later today, the entire chapter, it tells us things like this. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and too old. It tells us that by faith, Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice in obedience to God. It tells us that Moses left Egypt by faith and led the children of Israel out of bondage. In this chapter, even a harlot named Rahab is honored for having her family spared from death by faith. We're faith people around here. And in the middle of this chapter, Hebrews 11, we see a different side of the faith walk that deserves a closer investigation. Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 33. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God has promised them. Now listen, By faith, they received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death, but others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. Others were killed with a sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world. Wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. But listen, all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Yet, none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. My God. Somewhere in the reading of those verses, we were just transcended from that awareness only of a lower natural life level. We are being pulled up by these words to a higher dimension where this is reality. Today it is popular to preach a gospel, call it whatever you want, where all you've got to do is confess Jesus, I'm born again. And then we are taught, if we're not careful, that it is smooth sailing. Just set your life on auto. And it's sailing through a wonderful life. Skies are always blue. Heaven is at the end of it. Never a cloud in the sky. That's what faith is, we're taught. No. Sometimes God elevates us from that lowest level of natural life, the only one we're aware of when we're born, and He raises us up to where a higher dimension is a greater reality than the natural life used to be. And it's at that place where even when God, it seems, does not give us everything He promises, it's because it takes faith. You got to be up at this level in order to trust God at this higher level, because God has something better than all God promised. Now listen about the people who in their natural life, the lower life, never received everything God promised for them. Don't discredit them for their faith. How arrogant. How judgmental for any believer to say, well, I've never been through that. Their faith is just not where it ought to be. Let me reread the last two verses, verse 39. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God promised, because God has something better than all He's promised us in mind. Now, there's some friction, some tension between the natural life and our being elevated into a higher dimension. The longer we're alive, and born of the Spirit. Ever since the new birth took place in our life, hopefully every day we are more aware of the higher dimension and gravity, and our hold on the lower natural life gets lesser and lesser. And then there's eventually a stronger pull on each of us to a higher place than there is to the lower place we used to be aware of only. Oh, it's life. I'm talking today about people who are doing real life. Things are not right at your house, and you know it. You're afraid other people might find out. Such a natural life. But there's comfort for us. Jesus said to Peter, one of the 12, Satan has demanded you for trial. Imagine Jesus saying to you, the devil has desired you so that he could sift you like wheat, reduce you to dust. But Jesus said this to Peter, Satan has demanded you for trial, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Our faith should not fail. In the middle of the world where everything's a mess, all of us feel like we have targets on our back and an enemy, physical, medical, financial, relational, emotional, whatever kind of enemy is attacking. Jesus has prayed that our faith should not fail. Now, Peter, the same guy that Jesus told Satan has demanded you for trial, he would go on later to say, after he's at a higher level. Now, we know what Peter was like at the lower level. Shifty, shady, undependable, untrustworthy, would speak out of both sides of his mouth. One minute he would look at Jesus in the eye and say, you are the Christ. Jesus would command him. Four verses later, Jesus would say to that same man, you're the devil. Get behind me, Satan. Oh man, the gravity of the lower natural life, the one we're all born into. But Peter would go on to say that the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. If you don't get everything God has promised you at this lower level, it's only because he has something better in mind. Can you even begin to imagine what that could be? Something better than all God promised. I'm encouraged that that made the big book. That's good news for us today. Paul said this about everything he went through in his natural life. He said, we're troubled on every side, but we are not crushed. Now, when anybody's going to whine and complain about a problem, I like it like that. Very short, oh, we're troubled on, but we're not down for the count. We always get back up again. James, the brother of the Lord Jesus and the first pastor of the great church in Jerusalem, said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, you won't be able to say that, believe that, receive that, live by that, as long as you are only aware of the low natural level of life. It's only when you are aware by the Spirit. Now, the natural man think this is foolish. The natural man can't ever get on board with this. Because the things of the Spirit are spiritually discerned. And you have to be at a higher level in order to see a problem coming. And in the natural, looks like God didn't keep his promise on this one. Before you can say, when you see a trial coming your way, it's time to throw a party and count it joy. I mean, hey, we got to rise to a higher dimension to live by that truth. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, God is more interested in preparing us for our kingdom destiny than He is in our physical comfort. People who get derailed by that fact simply confirm they're still hanging out at the low level. They're still down there at the bottom. Oh, now it's natural life. Thank God for natural life. God is the giver of all life. We're born physically into a natural world. Thank God for it, but He loves us so much. He has so much more prepared for us. And He's rooting for us. He's pulling all of us, raising all of us up to a higher dimension. And the longer you live for the Lord, the more aware you become of the benefits of living in a higher dimension. But it's not about physical comfort. It's about kingdom destiny. Now, 2 Corinthians 4, beginning at verse 16, says, "This is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying," that's the natural life, "our spirits are being renewed every day." That's a higher dimension. "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long." Now, if you're just hanging out at the bottom and the only life you're aware of is the physical and the natural, you've not been born of the Spirit, you're clueless about all that God has for you in a higher dimension, then you won't be happy about that, our present troubles. Paul put it in perspective. He said they're small, won't last long. The King James Version, he calls them our light affliction, that is but for a moment. Then he goes on to list, "Well, I was beaten 195 times on my back, 39 times 5. I was shipwrecked. I was stoned and left for dead. I was lost at sea without a boat for a whole day and a night." I wouldn't want to be that one. He said, "I've been betrayed, stabbed in the back by thieves and robbers. And on top of all that, I've even been mistreated and betrayed by brethren who call themselves a believer." I'd write a book about it if it were me. But he didn't. He just mentioned it briefly and called it our light affliction. Our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, that's the natural life. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. Oh, we're being raised right then a little bit more. Now look around, natural. Look around, trouble. Look around, affliction. Look around. Where is the promise of God? Look around. He's not arrived yet to my rescue. Look around. Paul said, we don't look at the troubles we see now. We fix our gaze on things which cannot be seen. Oh, but they soon will be. They're in that higher dimension. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. He said it again in another way. In Romans 8, verse 18, he says, "Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will reveal to us later." I'll just put it like this. The sufferings now, everything you're going through, every challenge, physically, emotionally, mentally, medically, financially, relationally, any kind of challenge you're suffering through right now, it's not even worth comparing to the glory that he will reveal in that higher dimension. And I'm saying this morning, we don't have to wait until we're dead and in heaven to enjoy some benefits of the higher dimension. We can tell by the writers of the New Testament, especially the Apostle Paul. There was a time when he said of himself, I was the chiefest of sinners. And he was right. He was. And we saw that man grow from a low level. I mean, a torturer, a terrorist, someone who had legal authority by the Roman government to persecute and kill people like us. Christians worshiping in houses. Paul went from that, at that lower level, over the period of many years as he matured in the things of God, to where even before he died, he saw some things at that higher dimension and shared as much as he could about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3:18 in the Amplified Bible says, we are progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to even more glory. That's in our lifetime. That's not when we die and go to heaven and become glorious. So we will then. We will see him and be just like him then. But even in this life, we're progressively being transformed to be like him, from a lower level of glory to a higher level of glory. And can I just tell you, I'm sort of jealous a little bit of Paul about some of the things he witnessed in his lifetime in this higher dimension. He had a spiritual experience that he described like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Paul says, this boasting will do no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord. I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. He was still alive. He wasn't in heaven yet. He lived to experience that, and 14 years later, he wrote a little bit about it. He says, whether I was in my body, imagine this spiritual experience. Some of you have had spiritual experiences as you have left the lower level and been raised to a higher dimension in the things of the Spirit. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, he said, only God knows. Whether I was in my body or outside my body, but I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words. Things no human is allowed to tell. Doesn't it make you want to be raised with Christ? I mean, we've been raised back to life, from the dead back to life. We've already enjoyed resurrection life. Our spirit is born again. But doesn't it make us desire more? October's a special month for me, has been since 1980, when I had a special 30-day experience. I was a young man and was not aware of some of the benefits of the higher level. I was happy as a hog in 40 acres of slop. But I was focused on the natural. Now, I was born again. I was raised in church. I've been saved so many times. I know one of them took. And that's not even theological, but that was my low-level revelation and my experience. And then on an October of that year, It was a Friday afternoon. I was doing my natural thing, working at the office here and there. And that Friday evening, something began happening to me. It was a God thing. I didn't pray for it. I didn't ask for it. I didn't fast and trust God and beg for it. I was clueless about it. I didn't even know. I thought, well, I'm saved. Now, my God, I'm running with the right crowd, and I'm born again, ready to go to heaven, and okay, hold on. All I can say about that experience, for 30 days, my natural senses were dull, but my spirit was being sharpened. I was more aware of the presence of God. I was more aware of my dependence on Him for everything in life. And it was like God gave me 30 days to witness life at a higher dimension, what it could be like. Now, it did not perfect me. After 30 days, it lifted, and I've not been walking in the Spirit every day since then, but it was a 30-day test run. It was all a God thing. I didn't even know it could happen. But He let me enjoy for 30 days what it was like to live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. It was precious. Then it lifted. My fault. I'm pressing. I'm being elevated. I'm becoming more aware. I'm lifting my eyes to a higher dimension in God. Even now, I'm not going to wait until I'm dead and in heaven to start enjoying the higher dimension. Paul didn't wait. God showed him so many things in that higher dimension. It was 14 years before he could even speak a word about it. And then he said, I can't say much about this at all. I don't even know if I was in the body, my spirit left my body. Only God knows. I don't. But all I'm saying is when I was there at that dimension, I heard things that were so astounding. I can't write them down. It's been 14 years still, and no human can tell it. My, my. Take us higher, O Lord. Some of God's promises are realized only in this higher dimension. Remember the faith chapter? The writer of Hebrews said they were known for their great faith, yet they never received all God promised them because God had something better in mind. Oh, we don't even need to know what it is. All we need to know is in that higher dimension, something better for us up there. Something better than what we've known before. Now, I'm going to close by saying something that is not very popular for me or for you or any of us, but it's about spiritual growth. We don't like the price that comes with that, but there's something to be said for spiritual maturity. Galatians 4:1 in the New King James Version says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, listen to this, the heir does not differ at all from a slave, though he is the master of all. The New Living Translation words it like this. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. So the question, what is the biblical basis for us to receive our inheritance? Now, we are children of God, heirs of God. If you're a son, then an heir. An heir of God and a joint heir, an equal heir with Jesus. So as good as the Father has been to His Son Jesus, He's going to be just that good to His son Carl and to His daughter Judy. and put your name in there. But what is the biblical basis for us to receive the inheritance? Do we have to wait till we get to heaven? Not for all of it. That's old school thinking. That's natural level. And if you're staying down there all of your life, not enjoying any of the benefits of the new birth, you can't. You think it's foolish. Foolishness. Because revelation truth must be spiritually discerned. It can't always make sense to the natural mind. What is the biblical inheritance or the biblical basis for us to receive our inheritance? Spiritual maturity is the answer. We don't receive our inheritance based on the timing of someone's death. That's the way it is in the natural. And we do qualify even in the spiritual because Jesus died. But we do not receive our inheritance based on the timing of someone's death. We receive our inheritance based on our growing up. Until we grow up into this higher dimension, then even though everything God has, every promise He has our name on it, as long as we're childish and haven't matured, haven't grown up, we're not any better off than a slave. That's what God's Word says. Clueless about our sonship, walking around in the flesh like people at the lower level, natural life only, versus walking in the Spirit in this higher dimension. Now, John, the Revelator, we call him, he was exiled to an island, the island of Patmos, in his older years. And he said it well. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That means something. I mean, you can't understand what that means if you're not born again. If you're only aware of the natural surroundings and your physical circumstances, like a baby, a child, a toddler, that don't mean much to you. But when you're yearning for the higher dimension, for all that God has, I mean, how good can it be up there in this? How good, I'll tell you how good it can be. There's something better than all God has promised. Better than that. Now, His promises are yay and amen. But there's something even better than all of God's promises waiting for those of us who understand what it means to live by these words. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then he went on to receive the revelation. And that's the last book of the New Testament. It is called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. It was given to John while he was in exile. And the first thing he said, so I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Hey, this is the Lord's day. Are we in the Spirit? Galatians 4:7 says, now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are His child, God has made you His heir. So I leave you with a challenging word. It's found in Colossians 3:1. Here's where we should gather on the same page right now. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Don't get up tomorrow and do a Monday that's normal, seeking those things which are beneath only. But let's spend more time seeking those things that are in a higher dimension. God has them already there, waiting for our arrival there. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. I tell you, when we talk about a higher dimension, let's follow God there. Because our God, when it comes to high things, our God is the most high. our God is the Most High. And then we who have been raised with Christ should be seeking those things which are above. Remain seated and bow your heads, please. Lawrence Tuning is coming to the piano. Father, I thank you for your word. It's illegal to hear this word and remain at the level where we were. Your word and your will speaks clearly to our church body today. And we refuse to be settlers, just to level off and merely exist, not even a single day of the rest of our life. But we press in to the deeper things. We reach forward to the higher things in God. Holy Spirit, we give you free rein to stand by this truth. Teach us the power of this truth in our individual lives. For those who are here or those who are watching, and you only are aware of the lowest level of natural life, then this is a call for you to begin trusting God with your life. Give him your life. If you've never been born of the Spirit, and I can answer that for you, are you aware that there's a higher life? Are you even aware that there's a higher dimension where something better than everything God's promised you awaits? If you're not even aware, if you're clueless that that's a real place and you have a seat at a table in that place, then give your life to the Lord. Simply say, Lord Jesus, please come into my life. I give myself to you. Please take over my life. Forgive me of my sin and live the life of God inside me. And write us, call us, let us know. We'll make sure you have all the resources you need to grow and receive the inheritance that's waiting for you, not only when you die and make it to heaven, but at that higher dimension. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. I've asked Lord.